Hello, everybody. So let's talk about the ego today. And this is kind of interesting because it's basically it's like us getting together to discuss the Easter Bunny. Or maybe Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy, something like that. What I mean by that is that we think of ego like it's this other thing, like it's this hard thing, and it's up there and it's against us. I'm trying to wake up, my ego won't let me, you know, and I got to kill that thing because it's my enemy, it's my sworn enemy. And what I have found out is that good luck. You go to war with your ego and you see who wins, huh? Yeah, that's right. So let's look at the idea first. Let's look at the way that this thing is presented to us. It's presented to us that that our ego is a problem. And I wonder if that's really so. You know, I mean, if you look at questions like, does the ego die or not? If you'll notice that's a question that has opposites, doesn't it? I mean, it has very distinct opposites. It does or it doesn't. Just like this. It does or it doesn't. And what that is, it tells us that we're in the dream when we're talking about that. Because if you can describe anything you can describe using this is in and of the dream. The one thing that does not have an opposite is the one thing that you are. So, but all the appearances of you, we all got opposites. Every single one is a Fred and a not Fred. I got an opposite. I got a smart, good-looking Fred, and I got this one. I got opposites. I've made a list of some of these things. So these duplicate things, these non-dual questions. Like it means, for instance, is awakening sudden or slow? It's both. Do we have free will or not? Both. Does it do any good to practice or is it a waste of time? Both. Do we really need to wake up or are we already awake? Both. Is there anything we can do to wake up or clear up, or is it just pure grace or luck? Both. So, does the ego die or does it not die? Both. Okay? So, this ego that we're wanting to die is not, it's not, it can't actually die because it's not alive. Do you see that? You see how that kind of makes the question moot? Because otherwise we're asking one of those questions like, Mr. Brown, have you stopped beating your wife? And, you know, you're hung either way. So what we do is we want to always look at the way these questions are phrased. So this idea, does the ego die or not? Which ego are you talking about? There is a sense of ego in the same way that there is a sense of Fred here. Very distinct sense of Fred here, which I now know to be Fredness. And there's a very distinct sense of ego here, as you have all noticed in the last couple of years, as it's held forth on the internet and promoted itself and done all other sorts of ghastly non-dual things. So when we talk about this ego thing, let's look at what it really is. I'll tell you that when I looked for Fred, and I talk about this sometime in awakening sessions, when I looked for Fred, what I was always looking for was box top Fred. I was looking for the whole picture. And when I go looking for my ego, that's what I'm looking for, is the whole picture. I want to find that. I want to find that ego. I want to find that, and I want, just like I wanted to find that Fred. But when I really started tracking down Fred, I never could find him. I never could find that box top Fred. When I say box top, it's because when we buy a jigsaw puzzle that maybe has got 1,000 pieces of it in it, then there's a picture on the front of each one of those boxes of what it is that we're supposed to put together. And so that's what I was looking for, was that picture on the box. I was looking for the whole Fred, never could find it, could only find jigsaw puzzle pieces. I could find, like, tracks of Fred and traces of Fred, but I couldn't find Fred. So, and I find that ego's the very same way. when we go looking for our egos. Let's go look for our ego. Can you find it? Where's your ego? Is it in your head? I mean, so if we bring in a surgeon today and we crack open your head, can we find an ego in there? I don't think so. So if it's not like tangible, then what is the ego? It's thoughts. It's a collection of thoughts. That's what it is. And we don't have to kill a collection of thoughts, because thoughts can actually never hurt us unless we believe them. I say again and again and again that we do not suffer from what we think. We suffer from what we believe. So if you are going to believe your thoughts, then you're going to suffer from that belief. But in my case, I mean, hell, I don't take anything too seriously, but I certainly don't take my ego very seriously. Because it's all the time there. I mean, it's just always asking, you know, spouting off stuff. It's the voice in my head, isn't it? Yeah. That voice in my head, you know, and I couldn't wait till that thing shut up, because when that damn thing shut up, I was going to wake up. But I wasn't going to wake up until that thing shut up, because I knew that that was my sworn enemy, and I had to kill that first. But folks, the only thing that needs to kill that ego is the ego. Awakeness doesn't care anything about killing an ego. It doesn't care if an ego exists or not. It's perfectly happy with whatever arising is showing up. It knows that arising to be itself. So we don't have to kill that ego. We just don't want to pay it too much attention, because that's the deal, is that without your attention, none of this could be. We won't go into the deep philosophy of that, but that is the way it is. Without your attention, none of this could be. So everything wants attention. Everything wants your attention. And I'm talking about now big you, if you will, just for the sake of teaching. There's no separation, but we'll call it big you for the moment. So everything's starving for, it's just dying to get that attention. And what we want to do is we don't need to kill ego, we just don't pay it too much attention, because whatever you put your magical attention on will expand. It's just the way of it. The doesn't matter, it make any difference what it is. If when I look at not just physical things, but at my expectations also, that's a form of attention, really. Because I'm predisposed to look for this. And if I'm predisposed to look for the bad stuff, guess what I'm going to find? And I personally am predisposed to finding the good stuff, and a lot of it shows up in my life. There's some crap that comes up too, but it's not, that crap's not taken very seriously. Neither is the good stuff, by the way. See, we don't want to get attached to the good or the bad stuff, which, you know, we are judging whether it's good or bad. So, what we want to notice is that, you know, on the opposites thing, let me just go touch that for just a minute. I just want you to notice that the only thing that thinks ego should die, because we're back to that question just for a moment of should the ego die or not, and we know that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't need to, that it's the wrong question to be asking. But when we look at it, we can still gather something from it, and that is the fact that non-duality is rife with absolutism. It's rife with it. It's everywhere. It's just, I mean, there's non-duality, there's absolutism all over YouTube. And there's absolutism all over the internet. You can just go, all you have to do is just do a little surfing. But don't use absolutism as your search key. Use non-duality. And what you'll find is you'll find some non-duality, but you'll also find a whole lot of absolutism. See, because absolutism is saying that yes, you either got to kill the ego or there's no ego there, and that's period, and that's it, you know. That but what I'm saying is that it's both, is that we have the experience of an ego. There may not be any real ego here, but that does me that's little good to unwind that if we don't recognize that even though it's not here, we still have the experience. experience of an ego. In the same way, from an absolute view, we can see that there's nobody here, nobody home, nothing we can do to wake up, clear up, nothing else. And yet, our experience is that there is somebody here, that it can, that it does have free will, that it can do things to wake up and clear up. So it's we can't wear the absolutism philosophy and expect to come to a non-dual view. It may happen. God may override everything and wake you up anyway, but I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't bet on it. So what we want to do is notice that if I look at this stone, this yin yang here, and I say, so is this a white circle or is this a black circle? it's both, isn't it? Sure it is. So this is the same thing with ego. Is that we don't have to kill our egos, but we do have to learn to work with, because they don't exist, but we do have to learn to work with them because we have the experience of an ego. See, this is great because this encompasses both. You see that? We're not ruling out anything. Any philosophy that rules out something along these lines, that yes, it's this way and not that way, is not non-duality. It's absolutism. Or it's relativism, either one. I mean, it's just that we already have come together because we know that the relative is highly suspect. And what we do, we very naturally, human movement, jump from relativism to absolutism. Pop, 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 pop. And so in absolutism, nobody here, nothing to do, blah, blah, blah. What ego? We don't need to do anything about an ego because it's not here. Or we need to kill an ego because it is the enemy of truth. Either way. And I'm just telling you, neither one of those things is true. So, we don't have to actually fix this problem, because I got to tell you, if you ask my wife if I've still got an ego, when she gets through laughing, she'll tell you, yes, I believe he still does have something of an ego. And I notice that my clients, my brightest, most awake clients have egos. And we discuss it frankly. And my less awake, and they don't worry about it either. The more awake you get, the less you're going to worry about that thing. The dimmer you are, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but just in a descriptive way. But the dimmer you are, the more you're going to care about ego. That's just the way of it. So if you're caring a lot about killing that ego, or shutting up the voice in your head, or pushing down the ego, or locking out the ego, or whatever it is, I'd question that very, very seriously. I'd question that strategy. Because I used that strategy for a very long time, and when I used that strategy, I came up with nothing, zip. And it was actually only after awakening that I came to see what I'm sharing with you. I didn't have a teacher. I really didn't know much. I don't know much now, but I knew a lot more than I did. Knew a lot more at the time I woke up than I do now. But one of the things that I was open to was that I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. And what that does, it keeps me humble so that I don't get locked into these positions, which is that, well, it's this way, not that way. This is right, this is wrong. This is good, this is bad. So it's all of those opposites, they are in and of the dream. So don't worry about beating up your ego. You can take care of it if you want to, but I would just suggest just kind of ignoring it, letting the ego just wither from inattention. Thanks a lot. See you later. Bye-bye.